We'll try to finish up from Sunday morning, from the second verse of the Song of Solomon. But if you would turn to Ezekiel, it's the first passage that I would call your attention to this afternoon. Second chapter of Ezekiel. If you're there, would you bow as we unite our hearts together, seeking our Father's face? Gracious Lord, we give thanks for the day, for the mercies that have been ours. Many unseen, many unperceived, and yet they have been many. We are still in the land of the living. We have another opportunity to come together, to open thy word, to ask for thy spirit in guiding and instructing us and drawing us and in fitting our hearts and preparing to receive thy word. I pray you'll help these and the preacher for the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We started considering this past Lord's Day, the lily among thorns. And Christ added to that, so is my love among the daughters. If you belong in the vineyard of the Lord, it is because He planted you. It is because He provides all that is needed from beginning to end. Not only in the seed sprouting, but it developing even to the stage of blossoms. And He planted you for His glory. But when He planted you, it was in a ground. That would bring forth thorns and thistles for your sake. You need them. Now, Ezekiel chapter 2. And we did look Sunday at Israel planting a choice vine in his vineyard, doing all that was necessary for it to bring forth fruit. It brought forth wild grapes. And God will be finished with them. Now, Ezekiel 2:4. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And God raised up prophets in time of declension, only to warn them. But he never raised them up to save the nation or many therein. Verse number 6, And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. You're living, going to carry a message to a stiff-hearted people. They're not going to hear you. They're going to have things to say against you. Their words will be to you as briars and thorns. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Now God told Israel that he would hedge up her way. That a prophet might know what God's putting up with. He told him to go marry a whore. And he said, and that's the way Israel is towards me. How you're going to find out about the nation that you're preaching to? By the condition in which you are living. But I'm going to hedge up her way with thorns, or her path with thorns, and build a wall around her way, for she won't be able to find that path wherein she would go naturally. Now this is you, this is me, for by our first birth and by our nature in which we still dwell, it is prone to wander. It is prone to follow its own course, the dictates that the heart would suggest or devise. But God said, I'm going to put thorns all around you. And when you would go to the right or to the left, if it is not in accordance to the way that I would have you walk, then there will be these thorns and these briars that shall inflict great pain upon you. That's the only thing going to keep us straight. Gideon said to two kings, or said to a people, when I get them, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tear your flesh with thorns and with briars. You didn't help me. You made excuses. And I'm going to tear your flesh. Now, folks, the difference between any of us persevering or in the end, and this is the thing that all of us must be daily concerned with, whether or not we are children or whether or not we're reprobate. Know your own selves. Prove your own selves. Examine yourselves and know whether or not ye are reprobate. And the only difference right now is grace reigning and a continued work of God in our hearts. All God needs to do to bring a reprobate to full blossom is absolutely nothing. Just leave us alone. And we know which direction nature is going to carry us. The most saintly and devoted Christian that has ever lived on God's earth lived in a body of flesh. And they all still possessed, and we this day still possess, a fallen nature. He'll get the upper hand. If you do not walk carefully. Deuteronomy 32. I quoted to you, I can't remember if we read it, seemed like I just quoted it to you. Deuteronomy 32. And I quoted to you verse 10 concerning where God found Israel, that chosen nation, and how God led him, instructed him, and kept him as the apple of his eye. For verse number 9, the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Verse 12, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. In the goodness and the blessings of God, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But it'll happen every time. Unless God continues to work in us and continues to draw us after the Lamb of God whithersoever he goeth, this will be our lot in life. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness, and not 99 times out of 100, but 100% of the time, when our way grows easy, we are faced with no difficulties. Life does not bring any undue trials or weighty trials upon us. We all will grow lazy, lax, settle in our little nest, and lightly esteem the rock of our salvation. So here's the mistake Job's friends made. A righteous man doesn't have bad things happen to him, they thought. And they said to him, whoever perished being innocent? Wrath kills the foolish man. Envy slays the silly man. And I've seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I saw his habitation cursed. Job, if you are pure in your own eyes, if you are upright, awake, make thy habitation righteousness, and thou shalt prosper. Job, if iniquity is in thine hands, put it far away from me. God doesn't do to his children that which has happened to you. Cleanse your hands. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. Now that's professing Christendom in our day. If things go wrong, if bad things happen, they draw the conclusion that bad things have happened to you because you've sinned. All you got to do to keep from having what they say are bad things happen, just clean up your life. And if Christendom, professing Christendom, cannot see one's character or conduct as being wrong, then they blame the devil. I don't see anything in him. Haven't heard anything of her that would have caused this to happen to them. Therefore, the devil is the one that did this, because they can't get their mind around the fact that God puts us in great tribulations. That God presses us in on every side. But now listen, folks. Woe, that includes all of us, unto you that call good evil. Watch who you blame. It might be the devil, but even if it is the devil, God gave him permission. For we are no different than Job. We are hedged about, and he can't get to us unless God permits it. And don't you call that which God sent your way for your good as of the devil. We may come closer to blasphemy of the Spirit of God here. You know that's an unpardonable sin. Child can't commit it. But we may get awfully close here to blaspheming the Spirit of God, blaming His works as the works of the devil. Pride, it's in all of us from birth to the grave. It will rise if not restricted. And oft times it goes unnoticed in a, it's got such a fair coloring that sometimes we might even think it's good. All of you are going to forsake me. All of them were confident enough and had pride enough of what they wouldn't do and what they could do. I'll die with you before I forsake you. The greatest apostle that has ever lived, the greatest Christian that has ever lived, God gave him a thorn. For six things God hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and pride is the beginning of the list of those sins God hates. And God knew Paul as he knows us. And due to the revelation that he had, he knew pride would get him. God said, I'm going to keep him from being proud. And he had a little demon that sat on his shoulders and was whispering in his head while performing that God had told him to. Folks, when all the gears and cogs in your life, when they're running smoothly, when all the machinery is working fine, your nature is that you begin taking it as, I'm pleasing God. I have arrived at a place and at a height in spirituality that I please God. You may, but you will never have confidence in that. My works must be pleasing unto the Lord. Nothing bad has happened to me. My nest is soft, smooth. Life's promising. Life's pretty good. Pride is already rising. If you're traveling a smooth path, there are no thorns around you piercing the flesh. You'll be on a road that no sign of God has traveled yet. If you're there, you need no help. When do you get serious with God? Answer it in your own head. when you need Him? I mean, really need Him. A smooth world, no strength is needed. But let thorns tear the flesh. And your prayers are not just a mere general form. You've got a specific design in them when you make an errand to the throne of grace. You're going for one thing. This thing is destroying you. This thing is sapping life out of you. This thing is piercing deep within, and nobody can help. And you get to the throne of grace ever how it's possible. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now I want you to read with me some passages that are very familiar. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel is sent to the virgin. Remember that Zacharias was struck dumb because he did not believe him. He questioned him. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, that thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse number 41. Mary has gone to visit Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So the angel has just said, Thou art highly favored. Now, by the Spirit of God, Elizabeth said, verse 42, she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So you got two witnesses, both of them telling her that she's highly favored and that she's blessed among women. Verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. We don't go to God through Mary. Mary was a creature of Adam, a sinner as we, needed the same source of salvation as you and I, and Mary knew this. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Luke 2:35. Simeon has taken up that infant. I think a few weeks back I called Simeon Simon, but that's nothing new for me. I've called Cain Esau, and Esau Cain, and everything else. And I often wonder when I get away why that I make some of these mistakes. And I know that we are but humans and prone to err. But I think part of it might be that if there are those that hear me that are looking for any reason as to disbelieve, I think God helps them with an excuse. Well, he's always fumbling through, mispronouncing, calling folk by the wrong name. We know this man. We know his mother. We know his brothers. We know that he has not had an education. Therefore, he cannot be the Son of God. And there are seemingly contradictions in Scripture if you do not compare Scripture with Scripture. And if you're looking for a reason to count out all Scripture as uninspired, God will help you. And if you're looking for a reason, why not listen to some old mortal creature? God will help you. And he'll give you a preacher with stammering lips that needs somebody like an Aaron to go along and interpret what he really meant to say. But anyway, I made that mistake, I'm pretty sure. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Now remember, she's blessed of the Lord. She is highly favored of the Lord. But there's never been a child of God that has passed through life that has not had thorns to pierce them deeply and wound them and them walk away bleeding. But listen to such a dear woman and what Simeon told her. The child set for the fall, the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword. If there's anybody that we would think that didn't deserve this. It was that blessed woman. Thy sword shall pierce through thine own soul. We complain of a little prick from a briar. From a little inconvenience, from a few annoyances. And the God in America today is a God that is there just to keep our house up, enable us to make enough dollars to pay the bills and have some left over, to keep all things running smoothly in our life and provide us with things where we can have an abundant life. And she who brought Christ into the world had a sword pierced through her heart. Every relationship that is brought about due to the bonds of love, every one of them, a spouse, children, a dear friend, family that you love, every one of them's got a thorn. Doesn't make them bad people. But some of the deepest hurts that you will ever have will be from some of those that are the closest to you. God is going to hedge up your way, and that which holds your heart is going to be that which one day pricks it. A sword pierced her heart. A mother kept herself pure. A mother, highly favored of God, a woman blessed above all in Israel, and held in her arms such a dear treasure. And I do not know how, well I do, God helping. I do not know how, naturally speaking, that a mother could go as far as the cross, could have heard all of the slander, seen the mistreatment of one that had never sinned. Flesh torn, face swollen so that it had not the figure of a human being, pain and agony manifest in the dearest object of her heart. Well, today we see Jesus. Everything's all right because we see Jesus. He's our provider. He's our caregiver. He's the Lord that overrules all things to see that they work for our good. He's arranged. He will bring it about. It's for our blessings. Well, we've got it made. You don't see Jesus as supreme Lord and caregiver until you'd see Him on the cross. And before you ever come to know Him as the great and the good shepherd, you'll see Him being made a sin for you. It won't be like it was with Mary, but there'll be something piercing your soul. Because He did it for you. And that which brought it about was a bond that He came into the world to ensure. The love that He had for people. Matthew 27. Now the last part of Psalm 2:2. He said, "You are as the lily among thorns. As that outshines because thorns have no luster to them, no brilliance. They have no odor, no fragrance to give off. You're a lily, and as much as you are adorned above a thorn, so is my love among the daughters." And what does it tell you about every bond formed due to your heart? Matthew 27:29. "And when they had platted a crown of thorns and put that's not them just setting a crown of thorns on His head, and that's not the little thorns that we got growing around here between a half inch and three quarters of an inch. It's 3 to 4 inches in length, these thorns. And the reason they were so readily available was because folk used them as kindling and starting their fires. And so they'd bring them in. And because of His heart, they crowned Him because of the supremacy of such love. They crowned Him but it was so painful. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, see, they had to take all precaution, whatever kind of gloves they could use to keep from getting stuck, and forced that down into His scalp. You say, "Bad men did that." No. They were only the instruments. You men by wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but it was the determinate counsel of God, bringing about His decree. It was due to bad, wicked, self-gratifying, selfish, sin-loving creatures that will be with Him in glory. They didn't put Him on the cross, we did. And a crown of thorns on His head. It wasn't about those that were already in hell. It's not about the ones just making a wrong decision or not making the right decision. It's about those that would have made no choice at all. If God in power hadn't awakened, quickened, made them alive, if God hadn't broken their hearts, they're not going to look at such a despicable sight and take any blame. It's about bad men and bad women. Not about those that go through life and never receive Him. This thing's about awakened, convinced sinners drawn by the Spirit of God, made willing in the day of God's power. It's about us. It is about all of us that preferred our own life, our family, our happiness, our pleasures, our dream, our honor. We wanted to be Lord. We wanted to reign. It's not about those folk over there. It's about us. God help us that we not complain with the thorns that surround us. God put them around you in love. And it's those on the road to glory that composed such a crown. On their Savior's head. I'll close. When God has determined the destruction of an individual, of a people, or of a nation, He'll send lying spirits and tongues of flattery to places. And then we'll close. Book of Proverbs again. Verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. And the devil's always telling me, lighten up, ease up. But a flattering mouth will destroy you. Daniel chapter 11. And verse number 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. Then I don't give it to him. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. He'll tell you how good you are. What a good Christian you are, how devoted you are. And he'll point out somebody that's not as devoted as you, not as dedicated as you. And he'll tell you, you outshine them as much as the sun outshines the stars. Now you'll get to believe in him if you're not careful. A vile person. They won't give the honor of the kingdom to him, but he comes in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery. Verse number 34. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. You better pray God provide sufficient strength to endure lying tongues, thorns, those that are dear to you, will at times cut you to pieces. You better pray to endure. And when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Now listen to what Christ says. As a lily among thorns. Listen to Christ. Thou art beautiful. To Christ. You're going to turn away your eyes looking at me, for you've ravished my heart with one of your eyes. Only Christ could tell an individual such as that and it not destroy her. And he knows it won't destroy her because he's got thorns all around her. And those thorns are going to keep her hedged in. Dear ones, you're going to come to love the Lord Jesus. You're going to. And you'll come to appreciate the pricks of life that keep you on the straight and narrow way.